welcome to The Pulse, a brand new podcast series produced by the European Commission, specifically DG Grow, the Directorate General that is responsible for the internal market, industry, entrepreneurship and SMEs. Now, in this five-episode series, we're going to explore how things are and what the future holds for all sorts of creative and cultural industries, or CCIs, as they'll sometimes be referred to, in the European Union. We'll be meeting SMEs, we'll be meeting entrepreneurs, creative practitioners and policymakers, the works. So please do embark with us on an exciting journey of challenges and insights and success stories, which really are shaping the European creative landscape. You will be entertained, informed, and inspired. Yes, this is The Pulse. And I'm your host, Katrina Sickle. I'm a moderator of all sorts of policy-oriented events and, well, a podcast host. Now, in this episode, I'll be discussing with three fabulous speakers the highs and lows, the opportunities and challenges, in a nutshell, the lived-on-the-ground experience of three diverse women entrepreneurs and identifying the kind of support that they can expect from the EU. So, welcome. Hello, everybody. Thank you for being in the studio with me. Welcome to all of you.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having us.
Pleasure. Now, let me briefly introduce you, if I may, and then very shortly after that, I'm going to give you all the floor. With me in the studio today are Claire Munk, who is CEO of Be Angels and founder and managing director of Scale Funds. Now, Be Angels is one of Europe's oldest business angels groups. It's based in Belgium. And over the last 18 years or so, it has enabled over 80 million euros to be channeled into 450 companies. So super impressive figures. What did I miss there? What could you explain a little bit more clearly for our viewers?
Thank you, Katrina, for the introduction. We indeed run an angel investment platform that's mostly operational across Belgium, but we do have that peculiarity of working also with France and with Luxembourg, which is quite unique for a business angel group. And we have also developed a unique platform with many different ways people can invest in startups and scale-ups. And that was also encouraged by the fact that we wanted to attract more female business angels and invest in more women entrepreneurs.
Thank you. I'm very glad I asked you to explain further because I wouldn't have done it so eloquently. Okay, I'm going to turn now to Sanya Pantic. Now, she has been chairing the Women Entrepreneurship Group within Enterprise Europe Network. For those who may not know about EEN, it's the world's largest support network for small and medium-sized enterprises. It has real international ambitions, and Sanya has been chairing that since May of 2015. Now, the network is active worldwide. It brings together experts from all sorts of member organisations that are renowned for their excellence, I love that word, their excellence in business support. And she's also leader of the biggest national association of female entrepreneurs in Serbia, the Association of Business Women, where she has run numerous projects that focus on innovations. And she's a published author. A lot. Could there be anything I missed, Sanya? Briefly, what needs explaining?
Nothing missed, actually. It's all fine.
It's all good. You are most humble. Okay, but as with Claire, you are going to unpack some of that and give us some information behind some of those roles that you occupy. And now I turn to my third speaker, fourth generation entrepreneur, Roni Gamzon. Now, in 2022, she came to a technology conference, an annual one called Viva Tech. She was looking to explore the world of fashion tech. It's her passion. And she met the co-founder of her company there and was introduced to and fell in love with the Paris fashion tech world. And with that co-founder, she brought to life a company called BioFluff, or BioFluff, she will correct me in a moment. It's a fashion tech startup that produces completely plant-based fur, shearling and other comfort and luxury materials as an alternative to animal and synthetic material. And what's amazing is they have famously exhibited this completely unique solution with Stella McCartney at COP28. So, Really glowing introduction there, I think, Ronnie. What would you add? What did I miss out that would be interesting for our listeners?
First of all, thank you so much for having me. It's amazing to be here with such an inspiring moment. I would just say to the listeners that animal fur is actually such a big problem. There's over 100 million animals killed every year for animal fur. And not only that, there are a lot of fossil fuel-based materials that we are aiming to replace. And the fashion industry is the third most polluting industry in the world. And 60-70% of that comes from materials. So this is really the problem we are tackling, starting for fashion and then expanding to other markets.
And thank you. And thank you for those statistics, very compelling statistics. And I'm very taken by the fact that your passion really is for innovative solutions and to circularize the fashion and the luxury industry, to decarbonize it, but also to maintain all that magic and all that creativity. Not an easy task. I'm going to start with Claire, if I may. I hope it's not going to be such a negative start, but it is going to start with challenges. You are best placed, I think, to tell us what are the perhaps two or three main challenges for women entrepreneurs in terms specifically of accessing finance?
Yes, we do have to start with some of the challenges that women entrepreneurs face, although we're all here to solve them and to show that we can overcome many of those challenges. But if you ask me to name three, I would probably start with the usual lack of knowledge that women have about the different sources of finance that are available to fund startups, scale-ups in the market, but especially startups. So we usually find that there's a lack of information or access to information about the different sources of finance that are available for different types of businesses, different stages of development, and also different sectors of activity. If we're speaking in particular about the creative industries, there might be some sources of finance that are very specific to that activity. The second hurdle that we find, more specifically with women entrepreneurs, is the lack of financial skills. So in general, we have many women that start businesses and they do not really master or manage very well all the financial aspects of their business. And the third challenge that I would like to mention is obviously the lack of diversity that we face in the financial world. That is true for financial institutions such as banks, where we now have been speaking a lot in recent years about the lack of diversity in investment committees or the existence of biases that are sometimes unconscious in investment committees. And that is also true for the venture capital world or the business angel world, where in general we lack diversity and also gender diversity.
Thank you there. So it's the lack of knowledge, the lack of financial skills, and the lack of diversity. So those are some of the obstacles for women entrepreneurs when they're wanting to access finance. And let's see if what I'm going to ask Sanya correlates with that. How does that resonate? We're looking at those creative and cultural industries. What are a couple of the trends that you are seeing?
Even before pandemic, which definitely was a kind of a breakthrough in setting some new trends, women entrepreneurs in CCI sector, in the creative sector industries, I would say were the leaders in setting up the new trend of going digital. Whether it is the trend where women companies, especially in creative industries, are transitioning to digital business model, whether conducting their creative activities entirely through digital platforms, like, for example, Freelance or Upwork or other familiar platforms. Typically, they do their web design work. And by the way, which is very important to say, women entrepreneurs, unfortunately, opt for less paid jobs at the digital platforms. It is interesting to emphasize. And also a traditional business model owned by and developed by women along this trend, they also develop this digital form as the support to the traditional business model.
Yes, Indeed. And let me just pick up just for a brief response, if I may. So you say, listen, they're the leaders. They were even the leaders before COVID. It's been amplified in terms of this transition to digital business models. Claire spoke of this lack of skills in certain areas for women when we were talking about accessing finance. Is there more skills to be gained for women to make the most of this transition in digital? You said they were ahead of the curve, but is there for numbers of them, yeah, a certain lack of skills to make the most of it?
Yes, that's true. Definitely. What I would like to emphasize is that we should foster this intergeneration cooperation between women entrepreneurs, so that the younger ones, which are more present in digital world, should somehow through network with all other women that are not that much present in a digital world, should transfer their skills and support them in developing these skills. And this is something that we practice in our projects dedicated to supporting women entrepreneurs.
Okay. Well, we will come back to that. Thank you. I really like that idea of that kind of intergenerational solidarity, that knowledge exchange. I can tell you that at my grand old age, I could do with a bit of help on that. I'm absolutely rubbish. So I think I'll be coming to you after this podcast. All right, let's come to Ronnie. And hearing all of that, Ronnie, there are challenges, but there is brilliance, there is excellence, there are solutions. We'll come more to those. For you, what was the trigger? Why did you decide to become an entrepreneur? What was the driver? Or was it the idea that came first and then you thought, well, it's not out there, so I better just put it out there and become an entrepreneur? How did that work?
When I signed up to university, I had to choose if I'm going for computer science and entrepreneurship or just computer science. And I decided to do just computer science because I didn't want to be an entrepreneur like my dad, like my granddad and my great-grandfather. And I just wanted my corporate career as a computer scientist. But then very quickly, I realized that it is written in the stars and it flows in my blood and I cannot escape it. And that entrepreneurship urge is always bursting out. So it took around a year studying to realize that.
You couldn't escape the DNA. Okay, so it's there and it will continue. Should you have offspring, it will continue down the line. So picking up on, again, what we heard, perhaps you can articulate for us just a couple of the realities of what you experienced being a young woman entrepreneur or female entrepreneur. What are the challenges? What else would you have to say?
Well, you know, there are the classic challenges. I have two male co-founders and we've gone to meetings. And at the beginning of the meeting, all the questions, all the looks are directed at them. And my male co-founders are also older than me. So really, I would just not be taken seriously. But I'm also lucky to have co-founders that are very supportive. And once the questions are my expertise, because we all have different expertise, but we all bring different things to the team, and they would direct them at me. And slowly I can see in the meeting the looks, you know, shift away and start, and I start to be perceived as more serious. But I do want to shed some positive light. I was actually very lucky as the two partners that led our seed round of two different leading European funds in impact investments are both women. So on our board, we have two women that are really the investors to the strat. And it obviously helps, you know, they just get it. And we have a bond that is very easy and natural and helps our workflow. And it's obviously very inspiring to be working with women investors.
Very rapidly, Sanya, Claire, not taken seriously. Do you still see that, Claire?
I wouldn't say maybe not taken seriously. I think that it goes back to the stereotype or the bias that is still very present, that women are not ambitious enough, and the way that we communicate in general. So I don't think that it's not taken seriously, or maybe as Ronnie says, it's in the framework of a high growth, you know, entrepreneurship venture, or the fact that you're building an impact business that is going to have both impact, but also might generate returns. And I think that the in the investors' world, first of all, impact investing is still of a question mark. And I think that maybe a lot of people still question the fact that you can do good and do well at the same time. And then you have the second bias, that is, if you're leading an impact business and you're a female entrepreneur, does that mean that, you know, you're really too good to do well?
What, does any of that resonate in what you come across in the women that you also mentor, the women that you also support? Do you hear any of that?
Yeah, just before that, maybe just short, briefly to say that to highlight this problem with bias is by my experience in working with 100 women entrepreneurs during the last 26 years, I noticed that 10 years is needed for women in entrepreneurship to be taken equally as men. So 10 years of doing business very in very committed way is needed approximately to for them to be recognized as a successful entrepreneur, which banks also have trust when they claim the credits. So nothing is, let's say the stereotypes are not obvious, but it is when you do research, for example, with bankers, with the women entrepreneurs, then you can see that there is still some stereotypes.
There's some data, Claire, data gathered by PitchBook Financial Database of the FT, that the number of female angel investors active in Europe had been growing rapidly over the past few years, but then dropped by about 40% in 2023. And that contributed to a fall in venture capital deal activity among the female-founded companies. So there was a really, really low participation, the lowest since 2018, with angel investors. Can we explain this lack of women's business angels and its impact on the support in general to women entrepreneurship?
Well, I think that, you know, the venture capital ecosystem has had two very challenging years in general. So what you have just said is true for female investors, but also for men investors and entrepreneurs in general. However, what we can indeed notice is that it is very hard to get women to actually join the angel market. So with the angels, we've been, you know, very happy that we've reached 15% of our angel base that are women. It is still very low. It is still not enough. That has been made possible because we were, as I mentioned in the introduction, able to introduce new ways to invest with, you know, learning and training and collective intelligence. So we're trying to innovate in the way that we approach the angel market in order to engage more women. But this takes time. And in the last 2 years, obviously, you know, there's been the economic and financial crisis. And so women have been also, I think, adversely impacted as investors, because, first of all, it's not natural for them to engage as angel investors. So that creates an additional hurdle. And for female entrepreneurs, because usually worldwide, we'd say that, you know, only 2% of the VC monies goes to women entrepreneurs. Now, I'm very happy to say that at Be Angels, you know, whether it's the angel group or our funds, we have about 25% of our monies that goes to. So coming back to your point about, you know, why so few women business angels, I think the first point is lack of knowledge. The fact that you can actually become a business angel and that you do not have to be a billionaire to do so. And also that you can engage quite early in your life. You don't have to wait for retirement. And there are many, many angel groups across Europe now that enable people to join the angel market with, you know, lower amounts, with training, etc. So the fact that there are still a lot of stereotypes about what business angels look like. For women, they still look like 65-year-old white males, you know? So that's still something we have to fight against. The second thing is the lack of role models that is very linked to that. and the fact that women do not appreciate the fact that you can learn how to become a business angel and that it is okay to learn how to invest in startups. You know, nobody is born as an angel investor. And I would say the last point is, in general, if we want to engage more women as angel investors, we have to make them see angel investing as impact investing.
Let me just jump in, just for clarity for our listeners, in two sentences, what is impact investing?
Well, impact investing, as I would define it, it encompasses a lot of sectors of activity, but it is investment that at the same time impacts positively society, the environment, the economy as a whole, but where you can also generate a return. So it is not philanthropy.
Interesting. And it comes out, that seems to be a thread of yours, this notion of, you know, the fact that you can do good and do something powerful and do something that has a return at the same time. Ronnie, did you want to just jump in there?
Yes, actually, I thought to maybe give an example to what Claire said, because one of our first investors at the pre-seed was an angel investor, a female angel investor that is a professional in the fashion industry working in one of the top brands. And that was her first angel investment. We got connected to her quite by accident, by a mutual friend who has also invested. And since then, she has invested in a few startups, you know, very small ticket sizes. She is, you know, still in the fashion industry, but it has opened her into the whole world of alternative materials, which is very unspoken about in the fashion industry, and also given us a lot of direction and a lot of advice that is so valuable, you know, to have someone from the industry constantly working with us and mentoring us.
Thank you. And it's great. It's always great to hear the top lines, you know, to say, right, lack of business women's angels. There's a lack of role models, a lack of knowledge, a lack of time, all sorts of issues. And then to really hear a concrete example. Sorry, Claire, you're waving. And then I will come to my last round of questions. Yes. Did I misquote you there?
No, not at all. I just wanted to, I mean, Ronnie made a very important point that I just wanted to clarify indeed that, you know, angel investing is about investing your own money, right? But it's also about adding value and bringing that entrepreneurial or managerial experience. So I just wanted to clarify maybe for the audience that, you know, this is what we mean by angel investing. It's really, you know, the two wings of the angels, the capital, but also the willingness to help as a board member or, you know, to help with networks and experience. And that's something that's very appealing to female investors, not only just investing, but also, you know, making a difference for the entrepreneurs.
Thank you. I love that. I did not know the two wings. Let us now move this great groundswell towards away, not completely away from challenges, but solutions and support. And let's particularly look, just focus for a moment on EU support. So I said I'd come back to you, Sania, the Enterprise Europe Network. There you are and have been for a while chairing the Women Entrepreneurship Group. So how is the EEN, the Enterprise Europe Network, helping entrepreneurs in general? And perhaps let's remind ourselves specifically from the sector, which is focusing on the creative and cultural industries.
Okay, thanks a lot. So the thematic group Women Entrepreneurship is actually a horizontal group, which means that others are verticals like sectors, agri-food, digital, etc. Mm-hmm. But women entrepreneurs belongs to all of the industrial ecosystem and the 13 sectors. And beyond, of course. This great network opportunity for women entrepreneurs is in Enterprise Europe Network, where we organize for women entrepreneurs different activities related either to better access to finance, so informing about available funding, and there are some schemes that actually are more, they have more focus to women entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. for example, EN2EIC, which is an ongoing project which promotes increased participation of innovative women entrepreneurs in deep tech.
Okay.
But also there are other tools. For example, we as thematic group organize one advanced workshop that improves the pitching skills for women entrepreneurs, where they can practice the skills of presenting their pitch decks before the business angels, actually. Apart from improve their pitching skills, we promote good and successful business profiles of women entrepreneurs, and we created one. We name it 3-minute pitch e-catalog, which collect prominent and promising female business profiles.
So super interesting, and thank you for that. You know, you've articulated there and identified some of the key components which make up overall holistic support for women entrepreneurs, and really anticipate some of the gaps in knowledge, some of the vulnerabilities in skill set, and trying to provide something really 360 to help them go forward, and some brilliant examples there. So let's just come to my very last round of questions in the twilight minutes of this episode. I'm going to start with Ronnie. You heard there, super diverse industries. You are in one, you are in the fashion industry. I want all of us now to just focus on tools, advice and solutions very briefly. You know, what does it mean, you know, for you to be this woman entrepreneur in specifically the fashion industry sector? And are there tools or approaches that you might benefit from still, or that you have done that could be of use to those who might wish to follow you?
Yes, of course. So, you know, our material is obviously it's more for women's wear. And in the fashion industry does have a lot of creators that are women. And I am a luxury consumer as well as a luxury business professional. So, you know, giving my creativity to our products and being able to then enjoy them really adds a lot. So when I come into a meeting, I'm always wearing our product. And a lot of the time, the people I'm presenting it to are women and are able to enjoy the product as well. And all that we talk about in the meeting is them wanting these products as well, and to being able to enjoy fashion, enjoy luxury, while still being better for the planet.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. So one of, I mean, I'm looking at tools and advice. You can speak your product, wear your product, speak your service, live your service. That's very, very important.
Exactly.
To those whom you wish to perhaps impress from an investment point of view, or to create more partnerships, or to create a bigger client base. So coming back to you, Claire, let's come sort of full circle, looking again at the financing and accessing the financing. Any one or two approaches or tips that you would recommend to women entrepreneurs when they are looking at financing their business at whatever stage it is?
Well, I think a lot has been said already, but I think the first point comes back to preparation. Sanya mentioned it. So, you know, rehearse. Go online, look at the different sources of financing, prepare. There are so many now, and we're very fortunate that in the last 10 years, things have changed so much for female entrepreneurs in terms of incubators, accelerators, you know, support programs. I think the second suggestion that I would have is to stay true to yourself, but, you know, express the boldness, the ambition. If you're raising financing, you are talking to people that, you know, want to see you get out of your comfort zone. And maybe the third point that I would say is, as a female entrepreneur, you know, we've discussed about the challenge of having a lack of diversity in front of you in terms of investors. Well, maybe ask around your friends, your mothers, your sisters, your cousins. Are you, as a female, investing in other female founders? If you're not, you should be doing something about it rather than, you know, talking about challenges.
And, you know, I think it is no surprise to our listeners, certainly to me, why you hold the positions you do and why you are clearly very good at your job. But be bold, be ambitious. Ronnie, before I come back to Sanya for the last question, you wanted to chip in there. Please go ahead.
Yes, just on the first point, I think it's a great advice. There's so many support networks today and accelerators and programs and fellowships, and it's so important to utilize them. And even, you know, the way I was approached to this this podcast was through a fellowship I got with Station F.
Okay, thank you. And that's great. And I really, you know, sense that where there might be a lack of knowledge and skills, it's almost amply mitigated by the amount of support, potential support and tools and knowledge and know-how out there. So let's focus finally. Last moment with you, Sanya. What have we missed out hearing from your fellow speakers there? What other kinds of tools are out there that women entrepreneurs could benefit from that we haven't touched upon? The last minute is yours.
Yes. Well, I would say that this pitching event that we organized for the second time this year actually indicated that women really need these kind of opportunities to not only to practice, but also to improve their skills based on the feedback from the experts, but also they learn a lot from their peers. So the message would be that we should, as supporters, we are advisors, we are supporting them to create more opportunities for them, for this peer-to-peer learning.
Fantastic. And thank you. And thank you so much right in the last moments for underlining that the network is also all about that. We're not just talking EU here. We're talking about that scale up. We're talking about internationalization, which, listen, if I had more time with you, I would delve into far more deeply. I would say you've done a splendid job at identifying where the challenges and obstacles are, but more than splendidly articulated and identified and offered not just the fact that there is a lot of different resources out there, but they're very specific, and that those who are listening and are potential or are actual women entrepreneurs, have a look, do your research, but not just online, get out there. Talk to people. Claire, you said it. Ask around. Be ambitious. Be bold. Sanya, learning from peers. There are those opportunities. And I think even Ronnie, you said it. You came across this female business angel, and it was kind of via. And that's how that side of your business evolved. So thank you to all of you, to my wonderful speakers. Did you have a good time?
Great time. Thank you.
Amazing time.
Lovely to meet all of these women, powerful and ambitious, and just sharing your knowledge. Very, very happy.
Good. And that's exactly, I think, what Ronnie said. Just even the fact of coming to this podcast was something really beneficial. So let me just say to our listeners, don't forget, you can listen to all of the 5 The Pulse podcast episodes on the European Commission, specifically DG Grow's website, and you can get inspired to create, to innovate, to benefit from an array of EU support. Let me just say, we have only touched on but one corner in this episode, okay? But there is an array of EU support. You just need a little bit of work to chip away and have a look and find out more about it. And of course, if you like what you're hearing, don't hesitate to leave us a review and share an episode or two with your colleagues, your contacts, your friends, whoever might benefit. Of course, for more information, you can find us on social media, and there you can stay updated on the latest trends and developments. That's it from me and from our fine speakers. Your host, Katrina Sickle, bids you a fond farewell. And until the next time, feel the pulse. Goodbye.